Blog Talk Radio.
Hey. 1, 2, 1, 2.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Tim, providing you with that gleam of hope. Who this is. It's Latanya, the quarterback rush, filling in again for Minister Kim, who's out doing her ministry, doing her thing. As always, I'm honored. I am humbled to be chosen to be able to fill in for her, to be able to come and what you know what I say, be the conductor of this train this morning. I want to thank you all for joining us. I don't take this time for granted.
I'm so excited, Latanya, that you are here today with us because Minister Kim, she's always out doing ministry, and she has left us in the studio once again. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hello, hello, hello. I'm back. Y'all know how I do. Anything's liable to happen when I'm online. You know, I always put a little spice, as I say, put a little spice on the table. but we're going to have fun and we're going to enjoy this ride anyway. Good morning, family. This is your host coming to bring you a gleam of hope for your entire family. We have something for everyone. So tune in every Saturday morning for your gleam of hope. Today's topic is new you, new beginnings. And we have an extra special guest today. I had the opportunity to fellowship with her on last night at the PIP Women Rock event, talking about relationships. When I tell you, it was off the chain. We had a wonderful, wonderful time, power-packed, good information, had me thinking, and it was just so, so good talking about relationships. This is basically talking about male and female, so we're going to talk about that a little later on the second half of the show. But tonight, I want to, tonight, Lord, y'all see where my head is. I'm still on last night. This morning, we're going to bring Miss Noni online, and we're going to have her introduce herself and talk to herself. Y'all, somebody pray for me, because I don't know what's going on this morning, but by the time 9:15 get here, it's going to be all right, and we're going to have a great time. Miss Noni, are you there?
Hi, good morning.
Hey, good morning. You see what's going on this morning? It's a little rough. You know, this ain't me.
I see. You still excited from last night? That's what it is. You still excited from last night?
My head and spirit and everything has not settled down since last night, but it's going to be all right. I'm going to reel it on in, and I'm still going to make him proud, and it's still going to be a great show. How you feel this morning?
I'm feeling really good. I had an amazing, awesome time last night, seeing some people I know, met some new ones. So it was really great. It was great. Yeah, because at one point I was like, I don't really want to go because I'm tired. And I was like, no, for some reason I need to be there. I don't know why, but I need to be there. And I made it.
Wow. Awesome. I'm glad you made it. So for this first half of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about you. We're going to talk about what you do, you know, just how that all came to be. So we just want you to relax and go ahead and, you know, just answer the questions and be yourself. So at this time, we're going to take a small break, and when we come back, we're going to jump right into it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Cool. Stay tuned. Yes. Oh, before I let go. That's that radio angel. She knows she's on it. I love her, love her. So the song played, and it kind of sparked a little something. Miss Noni, we're going to talk about the last quarter. We're in the last quarter of 2015, and there are some things that we need to do before we let go of the year. Before I get into that, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, I am from Queens, mom of biologically one, but five bonus kids who I love just like my own. I have a company called Noni Knows Things, Inc., which is a lifestyle manager. Some people, if they know what a lifestyle manager is, won't ask you because they know what it means, but a lifestyle manager is someone who helps get your life in order, not just your business, but your life. we tend to have so many things going on. We have projects and we can't get them done. So we need somebody. And a lot of times people don't like to relinquish the control to someone else, control and organization, neat freak. So it works well. This is what God wanted me to do, to help others get their life in order. So that's what I do. I do businesses. I do administrative things, which business owners don't like. They just like to focus on their craft, and they can forget about their papers and being organized. When they discombobulate it, they fail to realize that's why you need organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you say get your life in order, exactly what does that mean? When you come to me, and like you said, you work, you know, you work with adults, but, you know, you can't tell us nothing. But when you come to me and you say, hey, I'm here to assist you to get your life in order, immediately I'm like, ain't nothing wrong with me. You know,
okay.
What do you mean, get my stuff in order?
It's a few things. Because under my brand, I do different things under my brand. One, I do skincare. So, one, a lot of people who are very into their appearance, they need really good skincare. So I can help them with that aspect because I sell skincare, and our skincare products are great. And you can see results in 20 minutes with our skincare, and it's ongoing. You know, I've used the products. I use the products. Everyone in my house uses the products. Also, I do coaching. I lost I lost over 60 pounds. So I only became a coach because people were like, what did you do? How did you do it? And at that moment, it was like, God, you need to be a coach because this is what people need right now because they've seen you do it. Even though people know you, they've seen your results. They just, and I'm all about results. Yes. Has life gotten away? Yes. But overall, I do what God tells me to do. And I just continue to go forward. You know, we don't like telling people, for people to tell us what to do. We don't like that, especially another adult. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Okay, let me ask you this question. Are you sleeping at night? Is your room discombobulated? Is your office crazy? Is your desk crazy? How can you focus on any projects if you can't get that in order? And I can speak from personal experience. When my computer desk is a mess, I don't sleep at night. I can't focus on my businesses. I'm all over the place. When my room is a mess, it's how am I living? What am I doing? How does this work? You know? And when I straighten up and clean up, okay, now the creative juices is flowing. Okay, I can do this. You know, when I'm stressed out, I can't focus, so I have to take a step back. Is this really worth you being stressed out over? Can you change this? Do you have the ability to change this? So those are the things. When I say lifestyle manager, those are the things, you know, I look into. Some people ask me to pray for them. I'm like, okay, I'm not a minister or anything, but Noni, you don't understand. What you've gone through, you can help somebody else. I have a very big testimony. One day it's going to come out, you know.
I know, right?
And it's like, listen, this is what we need right now. You know, having your partner tell you, yo, my life wouldn't be the way it is if you weren't in it. You know, yeah, I walked away, but I knew that that's not what I was supposed to do. We have to build together. And at one point, I was like, how am I going on if I know we're supposed to do this together? How are we doing this? And I had to take a step back and like, okay, you need to focus on you. Forget about anybody else. Your daughter is 18 years old. She has her own life. It's time for you to focus on you. And that's what I started doing. And when I started doing that, things started to line up. I'm not going to lie. This summer, I wanted to give up on my business. I was like, you know what? People don't want to pay me for my services, but they want to use me. No, I don't.
Right.
Don't charge you $10 an hour. No, it doesn't work that way. My time, I can't get back. So if I'm spending time with you, I need to be compensated in some way for that time. You know, if I help people set up things, their businesses, you know, 2 years ago or last year, when I really first started going after my business, I gave a half an hour free consultations to people and to help them. But they never came back to me to say, we want your services to pay for them.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I had to change also who I'm around. So, I'm sorry, I was just rambling.
No. You said something key when you were talking about our environment. It's so interesting you would say that because life, family, experience can cause our environment to get out of whack and be unruly before we know it. And then we wonder why, you know, our feng shui isn't flowing the way that it should naturally, spiritually, and emotionally. Because, like you said, the desk isn't organized, or I got clothes piled up in the corner, or, you know, just things are just all over the place. Things are just, you know, everywhere. And it's so interesting because sometimes we just have to stop. We get caught up in, you know, just going, maintaining and moving, that we don't take time to stop and really analyze our environment. So for you to be a person on the outside looking in that has the ability to just come in and say, hey, have you considered bam, bam, bam? Have you thought about blah, blah, blah? That's, I guess that's a very humbling experience as well, because you're also saying, hey, you have a problem or something is wrong.
True. I have a friend about 2 weeks ago. She has a few different businesses. And one of her businesses, she writes, she helps non-for-profits get off the ground. She's a mentor for non-for-profits. And she also writes grants. So she contacted me and she was like, you know, I need you. And I've worked with her before, so it wasn't a big deal. She knows all about my organizational skills because I helped. She also owns a daycare, so I got all her administrative stuff in order, just everything. So she was like, I finally got the file cabinet. Within, I'm going to say maybe 3 hours, I had all her different businesses separated in order. Everything where she normally works at, it was clean, it was great, and she actually called me her Puerto Rican Ayana on Facebook, and I started laughing. I didn't see the post at first because I came home and went to sleep, but afterwards, and she said that to me. She was like, no, you are my angel. You come in and you just do it. I have an eye for it, the gift God gave me, you know, and I can just go in and just do it. I have another friend who moved into our house, and she was like, listen, I can't. She's like, I'm leaving you because I know if I'm home, I'm going to tell you no, don't throw that away or get rid of that. I set up her house. I cleaned everything, got rid of stuff. I put the boxes that needed to be, but everything that needed to be recycled, everything from her kitchen to her closet to her living room to her bedroom to her spare room.
Wow.
And she had her vision board and she had something else. And I placed that at the foot of her bed. So when she laid down and changed, like did everything for her. So when she came home that night, she texted me the next day and was like, that was the first time I slept in pure peace. And I can't tell you how long.
Wow.
That touched me. Because, you know, I just go in and do what I do. I don't think about, oh, I want praise for this. No, I just go in literally, do what I need to do, and just keep it moving. But when someone tells me that, it makes me feel good. I get a little shy. I'm very humble when people talk about me. I'm like, stop it. No, no. You know, I also have that syndrome on, I'm sorry, you know. But it, it's a humbling experience. It really is.
Right. I'm sure, especially when you go in now, these people, not these people, but your clients have to really trust you to be able to do that, because I'm the same way. I cannot be there because I will see you throwing away my stuff. You know, we always got that. That's my stuff. Yeah, but you got a whole lot of stuff. That's the problem. It's not purposeful, and it's not, you know, organized. And I remember moving, and my friends came over to help me move, and they was just tossing stuff. And I'm like, y'all throwing away my stuff. Oh, my goodness. When I tell you, I was crying and everything, so serious. They were like, Tanya, when was the last time you wore this? It's still mine. You know, we have that when our lives get out of control, we have this we want to hold on to something that we can control, even if it means something that we don't need.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I can honestly say I didn't throw away was her papers. It didn't matter if it was from 2005 to 2013, because your papers, you don't know what is needed with that. So she had a whole big bag of papers, but everything else, it was even down to how I organized her whole entire linen closet to just specifics. Each shelf was literally specific. So you can't say, I can't find it.
Now, the question, after you do all of this work and you mm-hmm. come in and you do the cosmetics of organizing all of this stuff, how would you help me to maintain it? Because the reflection of the internal. So if I'm unorganized externally, what would you leave me so that I'll be able to maintain it? Because, you get clean. But if I am a nervous wreck, or if I'm depressed, or if I'm unorganized internally, then within the next month or so, it'll be back, if not even worse. So is there any suggestions or anything that you leave with your clients in order to help them, or is there any follow-up, because, we wouldn't want you to just get paid to, you're not a maid. You're not a clean. You just don't come in and clean mm-hmm. because, there should be something internally. So what is that? How do you handle that part of the assignment?
It's funny. The one that I helped organize her house, it was about a month ago. She was like, that it was, it's not completely destroyed and a mess, but, it's a little, and I need you to come over there. Sometimes you have to sit down with the person to find out what's really going on. Everybody is busy. Literally, everybody has 15 things on their plate. Priority, prioritize what's the most important thing. You have to. You have to take a step back and say, she did this for me. Now, how can I maintain this? Sometimes I talk to them and be like, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to learn to separate, if you can, your office space from your sleep space. Unfortunately, I can't do that right now, so my home, my office space and my sleep space is the same space. But if you have a home where you can have your computer desk, you can have your home office in a corner in your living room, keep that. But with that, don't overclutter the living room space with a whole bunch of unnecessary junk from your office. Because sometimes you've got to look at, and why am I keeping this? What is the most important thing for me? Why? What's the reason? I have my vision board up, which is very important to me. I've taken it down when I felt defeated that nothing on a vision board was coming to play. No, it doesn't just work that way. But that's how I felt. Well, I need it to happen, like, tomorrow. Why isn't it not happening in 30 days after I put this board up? Then you have to take a step back and look at yourself. What am I not doing to help this situation? Why am I putting this office back a mess? Why am I allowing this environment to be a mess? What am I not doing? Yes, I have three jobs I'm doing, plus my own business, or I have this. My relationship is in shambles. My kids is acting crazy. Okay, but that you have to take time. You want this, but faith without works is dead. So if you're not putting in the work in, then how are you supposed to get things done? You can't get it done. So sometimes if I have to talk to someone, I will. I tend to not just leave anybody hanging. I'm usually the person who's like, all right, come on, what do you need me to do? I know it's not the way it is. But sometimes a person just needs you to just come there. All right, can you help me? Yes, we did this aspect, but how can I do this part for my business? Now I have all this business stuff all over the place. Okay, one thing I tell business owners that they need to do, you need to get a file cabinet. If you have multiple businesses, a file cabinet has two spots in each, depending on which file cabinet you have. You have the six, you have the two, whichever one. If you have more than one business, then you should have a file cabinet that's suitable for those businesses. Separate them. Don't put them in the same place because that's going to make you crazy and unorganized. Business owners, get you a reliable assistant. No, it's mm-hmm. not about an intern because people want to get compensated for what they do.
Wow, so, that's awesome. We're going to come right back after this short break, and we're going to ask questions of Noni, the lifestyle manager. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that your body is made up of mostly water?
We can't live without it.
Delicious.
I can't live without my water. Water is the drink for me. I can't live without my water. And the best part, water's free.
Juice and soda are dessert.
That's why we choose water first.
Water helps us stay alive. Have some water, give me five. I can't live without my water. Water is the drink for me. I can't live without my water. And the best part, water's free. Water washes out the bad stuff. Water washes in the good.
Water is the best choice all the time
for kids of every age.
Learn more at ZuberTubers.com.
This is the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope with your host today, LaTanya the Quarterback Rush, and we're talking to Noni, Lifestyle Manager. She's giving us some good tips and reminders. Just reminders, to be mindful of your environment. We're talking about the fourth quarter. We're going into the new year. Yay, we made it. And just want to, you know, just start taking, just being mindful of your environment, mind of clutter and disarray and all of those things. If you were on the show last time, I host. There was one thing that I brought up, Ms. Noni, and this is one of the things that God had brought to my attention, is that before we go into the new year, we need to start implementing things the year or the end of the quarter from the previous year. So don't wait to January the 1st of 2016 to begin to implement and try to change mindsets and the way that I do things. Do them now so that by the time the new year comes, you know, I will already be in the flow. Things have already been shifted because what happens is people start doing stuff on the first and then it takes them to April, May to really get into it. And then now we're already halfway into the year. And then the disappointment, the frustration, and all of the stuff settled in. So the things that you want to do for 2016, you need to begin to implement them now. So by the time 2016 come in, you're already, you know, identified, you're already, you know, in the flow of things, and you're beginning to shift so that when a new year comes in, you won't be frustrated or disappointed or just trying to hurry up and, you know, just do it. I have a challenge. I'm challenged with I am a recovered person that was depressed, had the spirit of depression. And I say that I'm recovering because every day I have to be mindful of my triggers, on what triggers me. You know, do I believe that I'm delivered? Yes. Do I believe that God has me? Yes. Am I a fool? No. Because the enemy is always waiting to trap me up, and that's like a weak point for me. In depression, we talk about just moving, just going through the motions. And I remember there was a whole year of my life that was unaccounted for. Like, I really don't know what happened to that year. It was like I just kind of snapped one day and woke up, and a year had passed. But when I woke up, my house was, it was just stuff everywhere. which lets me know that I was just existing. You know, apparently I paid my bills because nothing was cut off. When I tell you I can't remember, I can't remember. You know, but I do know that there were clothes, there were piles of clothes in everywhere. There was, I remember there being like cereal bowls around my bed, and there was a trail from my bed to the bathroom to the front door. I remember, you know, come home on Friday, don't get out the bed until Monday when it's time for me to go to work. So when we talk about the internal, you know, the things that we have to deal with and all of those things and how it plays a part externally, today I am very mindful of my surroundings. Today I am very mindful, like, if there's too much or if it's a pile that's been sitting too long, then I have to get up and do something about it because I know that I'm getting ready or something is going on where I'm getting ready to flip. So I guess the question that I have for you, or we can actually just discuss it because this may be, you know, this is helping someone kind of realize some stuff as we talk about new life, new beginnings. I know depression is a major factor in being unorganized because you just don't feel like it. I'm just going to be honest. It ain't got nothing to do with the enemy. I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. And if we don't feel like it, we don't do it. But then we have to realize if we don't do it, it's not getting done. You know, that's a problem. Because then you can't sleep. My mother used to say, clean up this room. The air can't circulate in here. All this stuff in here. You know, nothing's circulating. There's not a flow. So I heard you kind of moan and comment when I said that, so I know you have something to say. So let's kind of talk about that a little bit because that plays a major part in you being unorganized in your business. If you're overwhelmed, when I'm overwhelmed, I shut down. I'm not doing nothing because it's too much, you know. So let's kind of talk about that a little bit as we're identifying all of these different things in this quarter going into the new year.
You talk about depression. Girl, and it is a every single day struggle. Every day. I have suffered from depression really bad. I would not do anything. I didn't want to get up out of the bed. At one point in my life, I was so depressed that I drank from November until about August, every single day. I wasn't living at all. If I had to get up, I would get up. But if I didn't have to, I was in the bed. Literally. It wasn't too much of the room being a mess or anything like that, but I didn't do anything. I wouldn't go out. I wasn't happy. I was suffering really bad. And it's one of those things that I had to take a step back. And I would say, y'all don't want me here because obviously y'all don't act like I even exist to be here for. So I'm just shutting myself away from you guys. And now, why would you say that? You know, why would I not say that? I said, why don't you think about it? Look at what's going on. Do you spend time with me? Do you talk to me? Do you, or you rather be with somebody else? You rather have a conversation with somebody else. And it has nothing to do with relationships. It's just individuals. And it was just to the point where it was like, do you not understand that you not here will affect so many people? I'm like, no. Who cares? They don't even care. So why should I care about their feelings? And it had to be a wake-up call. And, yes, every day it definitely is a show. I try to make sure that whatever I know that's going to trigger for me to go into a depression, I know, nope, don't have time for that. So do I still drink? Yeah, every once in a while. It's nothing major. But that major, it was literally from November till maybe August, every single day. And we're not just talking about, oh, I'm taking a shot. Sometimes it was half the bottle. I would be someplace, you know. So it's one of those things that
you had, like you said, you had to wake up. And I was just existing. And then some days I would have to realize, even now, some days I'm like, I can't exist in this world. I have a purpose. You know, I was questioning my purpose in life.
Mm.
My family has been hit hard due to depression. It's something that I don't talk about. So it's one of those things that you sit back, and I would hear people, oh, what you so depressed for? Or why would this person commit suicide if they're depressed? I said, let me ask you a question. You can't tell somebody what's going on with them internally because you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, every mm-hmm. person deals with depression in a different light. I said, mm-hmm. you may get down, and no, you may not be the one that says, I want to do X, Y, and Z. Okay,
mm-hmm.
but there's someone else who that's what they may feel. I said, so you can't talk about it. And then all of a sudden when depression starts to hit them, now they see it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, depression is really something else. I had a conversation with my brother. They know a friend who passed away this year. And him and I were talking. He was like, depression is real. I said, yes, depression is really real.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I know,
mm-hmm.
because I've lived it. I said, but you know what? You do have to wake up that day and say, okay, all right, God, now what is my purpose? You have to give me
mm-hmm.
answers. And then that's when
mm-hmm.
everything starts to fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start to say, okay.
Mm, go ahead.
That's when you have to say, do you get my life in order?
Right, right. But see, that's the problem. You said something really key. We don't talk about it.
No.
We don't say that something's wrong. We don't say that we're having a problem or we're not feeling ourselves. You know, we don't identify that we're not perfect or that we don't have it all together because we go through life with this image that we must have it all together. So, first, identifying that something is challenged or, you know, we're not at 90% or 85%, I have to acknowledge in myself that something is not right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where it starts. You know, that is where it starts. And we don't, and you're absolutely right, we don't talk about it. We don't
because we worry about people judging us.
We
worry
yes.
about people judging us. And I can say that's been one of my biggest downfalls, that I allow somebody else's opinion to affect everything that I do. I've let people question my ability on what I can do because of it be not a callback, or it could be because something else was done wrong and I got blamed for it, knowing that I had nothing to do with it. Now it started to question my ability. And I have to take
mm-hmm.
a step back. Wait, I know what I'm doing. Why am I allowing
mm-hmm.
this to affect me? So I would get to a point where it would be, this affected me. Now
mm-hmm.
that's one of the triggers. So guess what? Now it's going to bring me down. So now I have to step away and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I can
mm-hmm.
use this example. At work a couple of weeks ago, I was doing one particular thing at work, so my direct manager came to me and she said, did you put X, Y, and Z in this particular area? I was like, no, I didn't have any of that. And she was like, oh, well, this manager said she did this last night and you did it. I'm like, but I didn't have any of that. So
mm-hmm.
she went back to the manager and she said, well, why don't you, what you normally do, check the tape and see. So
mm-hmm.
now that she said something to me, it started questioning my ability to do the job that I've been doing and doing a great
mm-hmm.
job at, knowing what I'm doing. Now I started to question, am I doing this right? Oh, you want me to put this? Now I'm asking questions like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what
when
I'm
you
doing.
You knew the first time, right?
And
right.
I knew. What I knew already.
You knew the first time.
She was
it.
Like,
right.
So the next morning, my manager was like, oh, she came to apologize. I said, apologize to who? She was like, well, since you wasn't here, she watched the videotape and she realized that it was a customer that did it. So she apologized to me. I said, you want to know what the sad part is? I said, she won't come to apologize to me because you blame me. Now, I had
exactly.
even told my direct manager the day before. I said, now she's questioned my ability, so now I can't. She was like, do I question your ability? I know what you can do. So that should be your focus. I was like, yeah, but now it's off.
Now it's lost.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get it back. And like you said, when it's that trigger, it's one of those things that starts to take over a little bit. You know, when I meet with clients and you want me to do something, how many times do I have to call you back for you, for us to set up an appointment to do what you want me to do?
Right.
Then I've had people say, I've had individuals, well, you didn't do, you didn't call me back. I did call you back. I called you back three times regarding the same thing, and you said you didn't have the time. So what else am I supposed to do? Oh, I'm not a go-getter because I didn't go after you 19 times. I'm sorry. My time doesn't work that way. So then it started having me question my follow-up. But if I did follow up with you, I called you back 2 days later. Oh, well, I don't have the time. Okay. So I call you back a week later.
Well, you don't
want it. I still don't have the time. So then you know what?
You don't want
it. You obviously don't want it.
Well,
you're supposed to do it. And it had me questioning my ability to where my partner was like, listen, I'm listening to what you're saying. Maybe it's your follow up. Maybe you need to follow up. I said, but how many times do I have to follow up? How many times? So it had me questioning my ability on what God has given me to do to where I didn't want to do it anymore.
And it's so important and it's so interesting that, you know, we're really talking about these things. It's not by chance that we're talking about these things because it all plays into a part of what the topic is for today. And these are some of the things that, you know, we just have to talk about and we just have to be real about so that you will know that you're not alone. You know, it's not just you. It's not just in your head, you know, and it's something that truly and really it exists. It really exists. And it plays a part into your external environment being out of whack.
Yes.
You know, and then you want to know why you can't get things done or, you know, you can't write that book or that business is tripping or, you know, all this
That's all this other stuff.
You know,
That's
you want to know why. And then, and honestly, my thing is there's really nothing wrong with it. You know, there's nothing, there's nothing wrong with it. It is what it is. So once we stop saying or stop identifying with it being wrong, you know, and accept the fact that this is really what I'm dealing with today. Let me take the time out to figure out why, you know, the why, the what, the when, and the how, then I can move forward. I can move forward. These, I mean, but we just, our community, we just don't address these issues. And I don't know how we got all up into this session, but...
But you know why? Because people don't. You know how it was back in the day. No one knows your business. It's our home business. You keep it in the house. You don't tell Peter that mommy and daddy is doing X, Y, and Z, or we getting beat because you. And the sad part is that our community really needs help because we are holding in. You talked about something about last night. You said the recovery. You have to start to grow and you have to start letting go and you have to love and you have to do those things again. Yes, the healing, the healing process. That was the word I was trying to look for. The healing process. The healing process is hard. Because you know what? We want to sit back and we want to hold it against you, but who's it hurting? Peter done went off and got married, got five kids, is in, you know, he may on the outside be looking happily ever after, but he may be dying internally. But so what? We can't. All right, Peter, I had to let Peter go. You know, Peter did X, Y, and Z to me, and I'm going to take it out on Robert and Craig and Sean. And why? What did Robert, Craig, and Sean do? Nothing. But we messed up Robert, Craig, and Sean because of Peter.
Because of Peter.
All because of Peter, who's living happily ever after, per se.
And at the end of the day, like we said, you know, before, at the end of the day, we knew how Peter was before we even let Peter get in that good
in the first place.
We already knew how Peter was in the first place. But we
I tell people this all the time. And some people look at me, well, you went through X, Y, and Z, so you already knew. Yeah, you're right. Guess what? The writing is always on the wall. People go, oh, he wasn't like that or she wasn't like that. I said, no, we didn't want to look at them like that.
Right, right.
When it was written right there, bold, he is like this. She is like this. You know an insecure person, I'm going to use this as an example. If you're going through your man's phone and you already know he's with somebody and he makes a decision to be with you, you're always going to go through his phone.
Mm-hmm.
You got with him and he was with somebody. So you didn't care. Why? If you have to go through his phone, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things.
But it ain't me. It ain't me. It's him.
No, girl. And don't get me wrong. When you have a relationship, there are, you know, two people play things. But you have to look at the deep down issue. If she was insecure before y'all officially got together, then you knew she was insecure. She's going to be insecure. If you knew she went through your phone while y'all was out, or you were sleeping and she went through your phone and was like, what you doing texting this person and da-da-da-da-da-da, and and y'all weren't even committed, and then you commit to her, what makes you think that won't happen?
Well, let's talk about commitment. Listen, I don't know where this conversation is going this morning, y'all. I think this is residue from last night. But I promise you, it's all going to fall in line. Listen, this is how I feel about it. I'm sitting on the couch with my girlfriend Noni, and we just having girl talk, and you all are just listening in. That's just how I, you know, this is how this is rolling. We just, this is how today is going. So I mean, you know, this is, I pray that God have his way. So apparently someone needs this. And, you know, are we going to, just leave that right there. So let's talk about being comfortable. Mm. Let's talk about settling and being comfortable. I mean, we've touched on a lot of different things within the last 48 minutes. but, yeah, let's talk about settling and being comfortable. You talked about acknowledging or knowing the insecureness, acknowledging and knowing the different things. You talked about, you know, Peter and all this other, you know, the other different characters that you pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to us settling. And I want to hear your views on
that. I'm about to, and I guess people who know, certain people that know me, because I'm not big on telling my business because it has slapped me in my face on being close with individuals. So I'm kind of reserved with a lot of my personal information. But I'm going to say this. I have a very big heart. I was raised with both my parents. Unfortunately, my dad died of a massive heart attack when I was 16 years old. So I wasn't a daddy's girl. It's funny. I was having this conversation yesterday. I wasn't a daddy's girl like that. My father loved me. Oh, man. I was his princess per se. But when you look at people with their daddy's girls, it was so different. That's not how my life was. I was abused sexually by two different individuals in my life. So the healing process for me has been ongoing. I use sex as a, he loved me. Oh, my goodness. He loved me. So I need to give him some, or I need to buy him. Then that's how it was for a very long time. At one point, I was single for a very long time. I had let somebody in. Come to find out, he was with somebody, and I didn't know. And it devastated me because my daughter was young, and I wasn't the person that would have this person in my house, that person in my house. So I didn't introduce, and she was like, I want you to be the daddy to my baby sister or brother.
Wow. Wow. Hold that thought. We're going to break, go to a commercial, and pick back up. We just talking, y'all. We just having a good time sitting on the couch, sipping on tea and coffee. We'll be right back after this short break.
Talk.
Magnificent lady,
you
mirror tonight. See yourself exactly as I do. See the beauty I see from your head to your feet, baby. The treasure I see. So every night before I go to sleep, I get down on my knees and I thank heaven for you, because you're the best thing ever made.
That. Yes.
When I tell you this is so raw and organic this morning. Woo! Minister Kim Underwood. I don't even know what to say. I'm so speechless. Listeners, families, and friends, I hope y'all laughing. Please laugh. Please. This is a raw, organic morning. And y'all don't act like y'all don't have raw organic mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all not professional and staunch every day. I mean, we're still professional. We haven't gotten out of character. We just rolling. We just got up this mm-hmm. morning and just started walking and just enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. And I know that
so
the guest is enjoying it. And sometimes we need the stress reliever. We need to just be. So I apologize in advance to all of you professional, staunch people that may think that this is not a professional show. But I believe that if we've touched one person, that our organicness was worth it this morning. And I pray that Minister Kim have me back. Have me back, OMG. Well, everything that we talked about actually falls in line. We've talked about the effect. We've talked about the cause. We've talked about the foundation. So it's nothing that we've talked about that was not in alignment with what needed to be said today. And, you know, in the midst of all of the, you know, laughter and technical difficulties. And I love the fact that it's flowing this way today and I can just be me. You know, there's a side of me that's just me. And I'm honored to be able to share that with people on, you know, this platform today. You know what? This is what I challenge you all with going into 2015. Just be you, please. Take 12 months to just have a goal and a plan. Walk it out, but walk it out being you. And what you're going to find out is you have probably lived your life not even knowing who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Not even knowing who you are. So we took this hour just being us and just, you know, just enjoying the moment and going with the flow. Take some time out. Make it a vow in the year 2016 if that's what you're going to do. Be spontaneous. You know, just move. Just go with the flow. You know, identify your issues. Identify your triggers. You know, and then, you know, look at the effects of it. If it's being unorganized, if it's clutter, if it's taking on too much, trying to be Superman, trying to be Superwoman, trying to be the glue to help hold everything together, knowing and acknowledging that that's not who you are. And sometimes you just have to be, and it's okay. No one's going mm-hmm. should not judge you, and if they do, too bad, but it's okay to be you. So, Ms. Noni, as we kind of wrap up this first segment here, going into the second segment, can you tell us how we can find you? If someone wanted to ask you questions or, you know, hire you for your services, can you give us some information on where we can locate you?
You can locate me on LinkedIn at Noni Fanta, F-A-N-T-A, Russ, on Instagram as Noni Knows Things. And it's NoniKnowsTingz. Noni Knows Things at Twitter and Noni Knows Things on Facebook. And if you want to email me, you can email me at Ms.
sorry. I didn't mess that all up. I'm giving you the wrong email address. But it's Ms. MZCEO@NoniKnowsThings.com. And my website is NoniKnowsThings.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, everybody, stay tuned for the second segment. This show is a different show. We shifting it. We're doing some things different. So stay tuned for the second half of the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. We'll be right back.
All right, everybody. We want to know what's going on in your hood. So, if you have an event that's going on, or you just have a word that needs to get out, give us a buzz at hope at... I didn't forgot our thing. So sorry about that, guys. hope@themorningglory.org. hope@themorningglory.org. Let us help promote your event. Let us help promote whatever it is that you're doing. So just drop us an email at hope@themorningglory.org. We're back, and this is Radio Angel on the Line. Woohoo! That was Erica Campbell. I love God. You don't love God. I so love that song, and I love the video. Well, welcome to the second half. It's all about you. We're actually going to do something a little different than what we normally do. As you all know, listeners, this is the section where we talk about leadership, we talk about relationship, we talk about money. What we're going to do today, just slightly different. Instead of hearing from your experts that we normally play, you're going to hear from us, LaTanya, the quarterback, and Miss Noni, and myself. We were all yesterday, we had the opportunity to go to the PIP Women Rock evening of chocolate, strawberries, and a real conversation between men and women. And yes, we had our relationship experts there, Kimberly Arrington and Vincent K. Harris. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to have like a small conversation surrounding our subjects, which is leadership, relationships, and money. So we're going to kind of see what they talked about yesterday, kind of almost recap what they talked about yesterday. So, LaTanya, Noni, are you ready?
Yes.
I'm good.
I'm ready too.
Well, the first topic, well, should I say the first section in our Morning Glory, Voices of Hope, is leadership. So I'm going to throw the ball out there and kind of tell me What did you pick up from Vince and Kimberly in regards to leadership? Or even you, quarterback. Maybe Noni had picked up something from you because you hosted the event.
Oh, yeah, she was getting it. I'm going to say she opened my eyes to healing, how important it is to heal.
Wow.
And she also said something that is very important. My Prince Charming and her Prince Charming is totally different. Stop looking for the society's Prince Charming and look for our Prince Charming. And with Vincent, this is what I can say. He has taught me being a leader, and I'm very strong. I have a very strong personality. I am the head. This is what it is. But to fall back with my man, and he is the head of our household.
Mm.
He is the one that takes care of everything. He is the leader. I'm his partner. He is the leader. We make it work together, but he's the one that's in charge.
Wow.
I'm in charge by myself, but together, he's in charge.
Wow.
And I was going to say that, too. And it was really a reminder of the role of a man. And that the man's role is to lead, period. It doesn't matter how strong I am, how independent I am. The man's role is to lead. So for me to be mindful of that and then to stay in my lane, if you will, and just stay in my lane and drive in my seat, you know, and don't try to overpower that role. You know,
we
so
have
we talk
to learn
about
to be ladies.
We have to learn to be ladies. We have to. And it's like Kim actually said something about it being a setup for us, you know, from, you know, society, the government, we can say, in some incidents. And, you know, just our whole thought process and just how we, it's out of order.
Absolutely.
It's totally out of order. So leading, you know, having the man lead as a man, however he leads as a man, and women leading as women the way we know how to lead as women. But do we really know how to lead as women?
That's another show. That's another show.
Yes.
We don't have enough time on this one. That's another show.
We don't have enough time on that one. Okay,
no,
next topic.
But...
What did you get from it, Kim?
I was, like LaTanya had just said, and I had mentioned at the event yesterday, is that society has, and I really blame this totally on the government, and one day I will explain it in more detail about it, but I feel that the government has allowed, they put in place to destroy men, and not just any men, but to destroy black men at this point. But there is a point, and as we talk about it, as we go further, there is a document out there that I will share at a later time that talks about how the government and different organizations have literally penetrated our society to have our men go left. So, you know what that means. To go left, that it was a plan, it was put in place, there were things that we did, just like you know, you got to go through first grade to second grade to get to college. There were different things that were put in place that is breaking down the structure by, you know, the structure of the family. And once you turn the man around and confuse him, and anywhere that confusion comes, jail, homosexuality, in any way that it comes, you are breaking up the family, you know. But I think I just went left on that one, so let's move on to the next part.
Bringing it back in.
Exactly, because you know I can get on my soapbox.
Hey, we organic today, so you know it. No problem.
It just happens.
This is true. Yeah. This is true. So the next area that we usually have on the show is money. Money. So I think they brought up, we opened up the skit. Well, we opened up in a skit, or rather a dialogue, between quarterback LaTanya and coach Ray Baxter. And they were talking about, on a first date, having a conversation about, well, how much you make. So let's talk about that a little bit, going into that skit. You want to kick it off, Miss Quarterback?
That is a question. It's actually, you know, very sensitive question that I actually just came to realize from the whole event last night, is that it's a very sensitive subject for men. Very sensitive subject for men. But one thing that we talked about is, because my thing was, if you can make intimate advancements towards me, why can't I ask you about your finance? You know, and that was how it all started, because, you know, we're older, 40, I'm 45, and this is 2015. Nothing is really sacred anymore, you know, and nothing is really taboo anymore, honestly. So, but when there are certain subjects that are sensitive to certain people, but if you can make intimate advancements towards me, why can't I ask you how much money you make? And what they said was, and it kind of really opened my eyes about, you know, about men, is that it is something sacred to them. You know, that is something sacred to them. And it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Say it.
And if you say it in an intrusive way, then when people feel like, you know, they're being, you know, you're intruding, what do? You know, we protect ourselves. What do you want to know? And then don't have a history. You know, don't have an experience. It's a wrap. So it really made me more sensitive about, not saying that we cannot have the conversation, it's just how I lead that conversation and what I say as it relates to finances. But today, you know, October 17, 2015, we need to be talking about everything. We need to be talking about finances, intimacy, diseases.
How many baby mamas you have?
Because everything it's important that we do sit down and have all these conversations, because everything is going to affect our relationship. Whether it's your child support issues, whether it's your baby mama who haven't gotten over you, or whether it's the fact that you never got over your parent issues. We definitely need to sit down and have these conversations beforehand, definitely, without a doubt.
And I know that for me, I've had this conversation before when it comes to finances. Listen, you can make more money than me right now. I'm good with that. Okay. I know you got it. And it's funny because Vince is talking about a budget and household. Being, this is what it's going to be. And I laughed when he said that, because I'm a spender. I can't go to the grave with my money. I can't. I'm sorry. So I like to spend it. One of the biggest things I like to do, I do like to go out to eat. Also, I love bags, so I'll buy a bag. But if my man is like, no, this is the budget we have to do, okay. Before, no, you ain't going to tell me what to do with my money. This is my money. But if you're in a household and y'all are one, then you have to submit. One of the things we was talking about, being submissive. There are a lot of people, if you're not ready to be submissive, then are you really ready to be in a marriage? Are you really ready to be in a committed relationship? We're not telling you to bow down and act like he's nothing. But if you're talking about, I'm a queen, I'm a wife, and are you really? If you can't submit to these things. Something to think about.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the next section in our All About You is relationships. So I kind of want to kick that off myself. While we were at the event, I had Vince had made a comment in regards to if you are, you know, how do you describe yourself? He, a man, talking to a woman, how do you describe yourself? And he says, and the young lady says, I'm black, strong, and independent. And he talked about how that was a turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
obviously, it's obvious that we see that you are that you're black. And then if you're saying that you're strong and you're independent, then you don't really need me. So, and it was funny because he said, you know what I do? I leave them $100 on the table. I said, find your way home. This is the rest for the meal, and you can keep the change. And I thought that was
right.
very interesting that he had said
mm-hmm.
that. But then I turned around and I had said, well, what happens when a man comes at you aggressively, where he
mm-hmm.
tells you right off the bat that he wants to be with you, he wants to marry you, he wants to do all these different things, and you know, like, it just totally went off key, guys. Audience, it just
mm-hmm.
it went to somewhere that I didn't really want it to go. And where it went was, and there was a lot of things that were said, but the only thing that I took away from it was, you are going to respond to men in the way that your father has treated you.
Right.
So, if your father has rejected you, you're going to always be on that reject offense. You're going to have
mm-hmm.
a hard time with rejection or whatever the case is. And those are the type of men that you might initially look for. Whereas
mm-hmm.
if your father affirms you all the time, then when a man says that you're beautiful, you're not going
to
shy away from it. You're going to be like, yeah, you're right. I am. Thank you. Not
you
being conceited
it, right.
in any form or fashion, but knowing that
mm-hmm.
that seed has been planted in you. And so
mm-hmm.
I walked away with the fact that I thought in my life that I dealt with my father rejecting me. This is what I thought
mm-hmm.
until yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I dealt with the abandonment issue with my father, but I never really dealt with the rejection part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
wow.
what I walked away with yesterday. And it was just really, you know, kind of touching me because when me and LaTanya we were talking this morning before the show, you know, this is what I was talking about, and I was just like, wow, that's what I walked away with. I was tight, though. I really was. When I left, when we moved off to that subject, I was tight, so I'm just going to say that.
Aw. Mm. See, my father loved me. He would always tell me I was beautiful. It's so funny with my name. He's the one that picked my name out of the African name book and things like that. So I was important to him, but because of things that happened to me in my life, I tend to find those men. My dad passed when I was 16. So at that moment in time, you know, you can tell me I'm beautiful. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, but my dad always told me I was beautiful because he would always say it to my mom. He would always buy my mom flowers, you know. So I understand you do find a man that's like your father and what he does. And I can say
mm-hmm.
I'm not a flower person, but my partner shows me things in so many different ways that remind me so much of my dad. Family is important. You know, you take care of your mother. You take care of your kids. This is what needs to be done. And that's what I
mm-hmm.
love. He makes me laugh. He has those things. And I sit back, and I gave him a hard time in the beginning. I'm strong. I'm independent. You know, and it's so funny they say that. But if you are strong, he's going to see that. If you're a queen, he's
right.
going to see that. If you are
right.
Nurturing, he's going to see that. If he sees
right.
that you're loving, and that's the one thing my partner has said about me. He was like, you have that nurturing wife spirit, period, no matter what.
Wow.
That's a good point that you brought up, that Vince had brought up as well yesterday, is that you don't really have to try to be all these things. You don't have to prove that you're these
mm-hmm.
things. You know, and it's funny because I was that. I remember that I was in a relationship and I always felt like I had to prove to this guy that I was smart. I had to prove
mm-hmm.
to this guy that, you know, I knew what I was talking about. when he just totally kind of rejected everything that I brought up, you know, and couldn't see past the moment of yesterday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true.
Mm-hmm.
If you just sit and be quiet, and it's funny because I'm sitting and I'm being quiet right now, and somebody is affirming me. Somebody, he told me right off the back, he was like, oh, you know, I can see that you're strong, you know. And so he's telling me what he can see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not opening
mm-hmm.
up my mouth. I had decided this time I wasn't going to open my mouth. I wasn't going to tell you my whole life story. I wasn't going to do all of those things. I was going to sit and
mm-hmm.
listen. Not to mention he talks
mm-hmm.
way more than me. So I got to put the phone on mute and chill.
But see how important it is. And that's
I want
important.
To touch bases on Ray. That's very important. I want to touch bases on I want to say I think it was Miss Noni said that you find or you're well, I'm gonna read how I received it. You attract your father. You know, you want how your father was, and that's both good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
So if your father rejected you, you're gonna attract men that reject you.
And you know what? I'm just going to add to what you just said. For many, many years, I hadn't went to therapy. And everybody, listeners, it's okay to go to therapy. It
yes,
is it not is. Taboo. It is not taboo.
It's not.
No.
Because,
excellent. It's excellent.
You know, if it wasn't for the therapist, I don't think I would have crawled out of my depression. You know, but
right.
what she said to me was, you attract Kim. Men that are unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to run around.
Mm.
And that's another show on its own. And she said that, and I said, what do you mean? And she said, they're not there emotionally, they're not there psychologically, they're not there physically,
mm-hmm.
they're not there financially, they're not there spiritually, which was crazy because I sat back down. When she said it to me, I had no clue what she was talking about. I actually had to go to my godson's mother. I was like, let me tell you what this therapist said. And she
mm-hmm.
was like, okay, let me break it down for you. And I said, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And then I began to look at the brothers that I have dated, and they were not available in one of those
mm-hmm.
capacities. And the one brother
mm-hmm.
who was available in all those capacities, we ended up
Push
breaking
them away.
Up because of my own issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. We attract those types of people.
Yes.
So
my father. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say we're going to wrap it up, and I was just going to ask everybody to give a couple of words just before we went into break because we only have like 6 minutes left.
Oh, okay. I want to say this fairly quickly. My father was not in our lives, and I attract men where I had to go above and beyond for him to stay. So I settled and I compromised on all levels because of the fear that he would leave, which attracted men that used me because they saw that vulnerability in me. Because my father wasn't at home. He left.
Mm.
He wasn't there.
That's a show that we need to spend an hour and a half
what?
On.
What? What? That's what's up. But, you know, what's interesting is as we go into 2016, Minister Kim will be tackling a lot of topics like that, you
mm-hmm.
know, all those taboo topics that we don't really talk about. So as we go into 2016, just keep on the lookout for Minister Kim and the new things that she'll be doing to bring it in. So, oh my goodness, quarterback, stop. Girl, you already know. You already know. In a minute, we're just going to be chilling. Too bad you're not over here in the studio with us, Noni, because in a minute we're going to be like, girl, you know, that was deep.
Look, it makes me want to go over there now.
Come on over. It's just like, but before we go to the song, was there anything that you wanted to add, Noni?
I just want to say this. One thing is that whoever hurt you, daddy, and everything, you have to let it go in order for
mm-hmm.
your Prince Charming to come. And that was what I
mm-hmm.
had to learn. I can say my partner has taught me at so many different things. He taught me that I didn't need to use my body to be loved. I didn't need to buy his love and affection. That, yes, we've had difficulty times. We still go through everything. But at the end of the night, I can count on him and he can count on me.
Right.
And he knows how to love me the way he loves me, not the way I would love. Stop trying. Stop trying to get him to love you the way you love. No, he doesn't work that way. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Right. Just say it then.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. I know that we, listeners, we kind of went off rail from the program today in all fashions. But we thank you for your support out there and continue to support us. If you have any questions for Noni, the quarterback, or there may be topics that you actually want us to cover here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope, please email us at hope@themorningglory.org. Again, that's hope@themorningglory.org. We'll be right back.
Ladies, would you like to feel more confident, more empowered, all while simply being yourself? I can tell you firsthand that there is nothing more beautiful than a woman knowing exactly who she is. You're special, unique, and you have gifts and talents that make you an individual. Hi, my name is Kimberly Arrington, and I am the creator of I Am Me University, a unique online community of amazing women around the world, all committed to shine. We're just like you. I'm just like you, and it's time to be amazing, to stop being afraid, to live the life that you know you deserve. I'm so honored and blessed to be a woman, and you should be too. You have more in you than you realize, so won't you join us and get ready to be your best self? You can join us at www.imeuniversity.com, and let's let the world know that we are here.
God bless you. This is Pastor Thomas S. Cooper. Sometimes life can seem like a puzzle, so many pieces, not knowing where they fit. We know someone who can help you master this puzzle. Jesus is and will always be the answer. I want to take this time to invite you to join us each Sunday morning at Kingdom Life Temple. We're located at 3030 Jerome Avenue in the Bronx, New York, between Bedford Park Boulevard and 204th Street. Our service time is Sunday morning, 9:45 a.m., and we also offer children's ministry during our main worship service and our midweek service on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m., also offering our teen Bible study. We'd love to see you in the place. We have a saying at our church, one voice, one sound, one family, one love. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you this Sunday.
Well, well, we've entered the part of the show, which I love. All of this would be for naught if we didn't do this part. Thank you so much for spending time with us. But this is the part of the show where we open up for you to receive Christ as your personal Savior. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sins before you this day. I denounce Satan, all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today is my God day with Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen.
It has been a wonderful ride. I've had an awesome time. Hey, don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Don't forget to email us and stay tuned and join us again next week. We don't know what's going to happen. Just be here and show up. I pray that everyone was blessed on today. And with that being said, have a blessed and wonderful week. See you soon. Bye.
Hey. 1, 2, 1, 2.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Tim, providing you with that gleam of hope.